WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Michael Reynolds' mother lives 5 miles from the federal building that was bombed in Oklahoma City. But 2 days after the bombing, Reynolds was at a gathering of extremists, many of whom believe it's time to arm themselves against the government. Reynolds was there to monitor the Militia Patriot Movement for white supremacist activity. He heads the Militia Task Force for Klan Watch, a project of the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama. The center prosecutes white supremacist groups and disseminates information about them to the press and government officials. This week, Morris Dees, the head of the center, sent a letter to state attorneys general urging them to shut down private militia groups. Timothy McVeigh, a suspect in the Oklahoma City bombing, is reported to have been involved in the militia movement. The conference Michael Reynolds attended on April 21st was the second annual super conference of the International Coalition of Covenant Coalitions, held in Branson, Missouri. It was a gathering of followers of the extremist white supremacist theology known as Christian Identity. Representatives of the militia movement were also in attendance. I asked Reynolds how people at the conference talked about the bombing.
This supposed religious gathering, there wasn't one prayer offered. You would think that some prayer for the loss and the injured and the dead would be offered, but it wasn't. The remarks made from the podium went from no sympathy and references to Waco, that no surprise that such an event would happen to the federal government because they were responsible for Waco, all the way to paranoid prayers to deliver the Christian patriots from the Antichrist government that had planted the bomb in order to discredit them, to several cases, where they were delighted in the bombing.
Delighted by the bombing?
Yes, not from the podium, but that was expressed by several men who were there to me, that in one instance, this fellow who was from Oklahoma, I was speaking with, said, we've been losing this country piece by piece, but we got a piece of it back in Oklahoma City. And then he laughed.
Were you trying to pass yourself off as a member of one of these extremist groups or sympathizer?
Well, I was just there in that capacity, not vocally, but yes. I mean, I was not there in the capacity as a reporter or certainly not from Klan Watch. In a sense, yes.
So what did you do to fit in?
Well, just knowing that I'm familiar with the issues and familiar with the identity tenets and dressed appropriately. And
Which was how?
I just had, well, that's another thing. I was dressed, you know, in clean jeans, and these people are not coming out of the woods in some hayseed manner. The appearance were from everything from long-haired guys with their hair brushed back, wearing Birkenstocks, and there were several of those, and sock, you know, they had thick socks on and Birkenstocks, and they had their lovely wives and their lovely children, and sort of post back to the land hippies from the 60s, to ladies that you would encounter and gentlemen you would encounter in the shopping mall, to farmers and people from small towns, to some ex-cons, and it was an interesting mix. It was like if you go to Walmart, you would see these people. They're just people like us. So there wasn't any identifying badges and so forth that were being worn. There were the militia types with their aggressive T-shirts on. But other than that, it was like a gathering anywhere in the middle of America.
Did you learn anything about extremist groups at this conference that you didn't know before?
Well, one of the things that that I went to see, it's not so much their message and their conspiracy. I was familiar with that. I wanted to see the makeup, getting back to the group, the makeup of age group, who was there. And the alarming thing that I discovered at that meeting was how many were from age 50 down into the 20s, not speaking of all the children that were there, but that there was a younger element in this identity gathering. Because sometimes, looking in the past as identity began and sort of puttered along from the late 40s into the 70s, it was made up mostly of older citizens from their 60s on up. Now there's a third and fourth generation. And this is what I saw in Branson. And this is what alarmed me, more than the rhetoric I was expecting.
How did Klan Watch, which monitors racist activities in America, start studying the militias?
Well, the militia, what we refer to as militia, what we're looking at is really paramilitary activity. And paramilitary activity out of the racist right has been with us for decades, going back to Louis Beam, who is a Grand Dragon and now is a major strategist in this movement, formed a Texas Emergency Reserve out of the Klan in Texas, and they had paramilitary training there. Some 2,500 people, men, attended this, and the goal was to drive the Vietnamese fishermen from Galveston and the shores of Texas. Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris Dees, got an injunction using paramilitary laws. Well, that was in the beginning of the 80s. After that followed the White Patriot Party out of North Carolina that dropped their Klan robes and began training some 1,000 of them in paramilitary tactics and trying to, and acquiring fully automatic weapons and had a declaration of war. Then there was the Order that sprang up, which was a paramilitary underground terrorist unit that came out of Aryan Nations and Identity, led by Bob Matthews. So in the course of this, we've seen this by monitoring the racist right, and each phase of this development has become a bit more sophisticated. They've learned as they've gone along. But those extremists who are willing to use violence to achieve their ends are attracted to such a movement. And so our interest in them dates much further back than just recent years. So when they started, there were individuals and groups appearing within the militia movement, leaders and strategists such as John Trockman of the Militia of Montana, who was a longtime Aryan Nations advisor, spoke at their, was a featured speaker at their 1990 World Congress. Individuals such as that have such influence in this militia movement now, that puts a red flag up in what we do here. So that's how we got into it.
Do you think a lot of people on the racist right moved from the Ku Klux Klan into militias? And if so, what could the explanation be for that?
Well, we've seen a demise of the Klan. The Klan itself, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, the Invisible Empire, the Southern Poverty Law Center has gotten judgments against the Invisible Empire and United Klans, effectively dismantling them. They have been at each other's throats, different leaders, over the last 2 years, to where there is no United Klan. And this new generation is not attracted to going out and wearing robes and burning a cross, but the militias dressing up in camos and getting some weapons and going out in the woods and meeting together and doing paramilitary training, that's a different attraction. And also it puts a different face on it. And the face of the racist right now is this paramilitary militia face, rather than the guys wearing the hoods and marching down the street.
It sounds like some of the militia leaders who have come to the militias from overt racist groups are not as overtly racist within the militia movement. Does that mean that a lot of the people who aren't in the leadership in the militia movement might not actually be racist themselves? They might not see the militias as racist groups.
Exactly. This is one of our concerns, and one of the reasons that Morris sent the letter to Janet Reno, and we have came forth last fall with this information, is because who are attracted to the militia movement are really dissatisfied with the federal government, or they're dissatisfied with land or water issues, and they've gotten together. They're really political clubs that have been forming, and some of them are simply exercising what they see as their Second Amendment rights, the anti-gun control. Okay, those folks are out there doing that and have no racist agenda, have no violent agenda. However, the situation where you have the Kernkeys and the Trockmans and the Lewis Beams and others like them driving inside this movement, they are attracting many people who don't know what their agenda is, and they're contributing money and getting involved in the movement. And at the same time, we will see, and we have seen, those citizens who want no part of that drop off. And the Oklahoma City bombing was the threshold. That was the event. And we've seen that. The Oregon militia has disbanded because of that and gone public. However, the hardcore extremist element in the militia movement has just become harder and will attract more like-minded individuals who are willing to act out. And that's what we will see in the months and the year to come.
My guest is Michael Reynolds. He monitors white supremacist activity in the militia movement for Klan Watch, a project of the Southern Poverty Law Center. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Michael Reynolds of the Klan Watch Militia Task Force, which monitors militias for white supremacist activity. Some of the leadership of the militia movement is connected with the Christian Identity Movement, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that identity movement. Mm-hmm. This is a religion that seems to be based on racism. Let's talk about some of the couple of premises, a couple of the basic premises. African Americans are called mud people mm-hmm. in identity. What does that mean?
Well, in the identity sect, there is the Adamic man. That is the white man. And in their interpretation of the word Adam means Adam, to blush in the face, meaning white. That there was more than one creation. Before Adam, God created people of color who were beasts, according to identity, in the sense they have no souls. These were people of color. Then there was Adam. Then there was Esau and the Edomites, which are the Jews. And they, in turn, moved out and interbred with the beasts, the people of color. And those are the enemies, the forces of Satan, the forces of evil. And that this world, God's chosen people are the white people. So there, in a very simple form, is how it's laid out according to identity. And they use interpretation of the Bible, Old and New Testament, to justify this system.
Now, I believe that feminists are also part of the hate agenda. Let me read a paragraph from some identity literature. The militant feminist movement is another weapon of Satan, promoted and pushed by the U.S. government to dethrone every white man in America. Satan's plan is to replace every man with a woman or a wimp and to have them occupy the man's place until Jesus comes.
That's true. They view the Constitution in this way. When they talk about the Constitution, they're talking about the first 10 amendments and the Articles of Confederation. And they refer to those documents as being given by God. And then they refer, that's the organic Constitution, those are the sovereign citizens of America, the Republic. Then there are the 14th Amendment citizens who are state citizens, and these include, of course, women, people of color. Anything after that is something made by this government, which is not lawful. So women wouldn't, in their ideal world, would not even vote.
You mentioned the 14th Amendment, mm-hmm. and I have some literature here from Pastor W.N. Otwell. Mm-hmm. I guess he's very important in the identity movement.
Well, he is a player in that identity dominion theology. It's not just identity. They also have a very good fit with something called Reconstructionist Christianity, which is also dominion. The whole view of Otwell and others coming from not just identity, who share this view that this country should be run according to biblical law by white men. Otwell is a player in that. Yes, he's definitely so.
Well, he writes, I do not write this pamphlet of my public commitment and purpose of commitment with the spirit of trying to be hateful or unkind or to discriminate against anyone in an ungodly way, even though we have to make a difference in what is right and what is wrong. My aim and goal is to tell the total truth about this present godless government system and its ultimate goals. I believe without reservation that the white man was God's man to build America, and by God's help and God's grace, the country would always be the head of all nations and not the tail. America is to be a Christian nation. The Constitution of the U.S. mandates that this nation is to be Christian. What I mean by the Constitution is the first 10 amendments called the Bill of Rights. That's God's Bill of Rights. The web that began with the addition of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Bill of Rights, which ultimately led to abolishing states' rights, will over a period of years destroy every individual's God-given rights. We are right now at the verge of a total socialistic government under Bill Clinton with his crime bill, gun bill, and health care package and his present budget. So basically what the 14th Amendment did was, the 13th Amendment outlawed slavery,
uh-huh.
and the 14th Amendment said that anyone born in the United States could become a citizen. So uh-huh. it meant that African Americans born in the U.S. could now be citizens.
Uh-huh.
And that's why the 14th Amendment is such a profanity within Christian identity.
That's right. You've summed that up well. That this is an example of what they refer to as the de facto government imposing a law that is contrary to God's law.
You had the Militia Task Force for Klan Watch, which is part of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and you've investigated the militias. You've investigated racist connections to the militias. What do you think the difference is between the official positioning statements of the militias, their official reasons for existing, and some of the more underground reasons that you found?
Well, the official or public face of the extremist militia groups and their supporters is based on several events. They cite the Weaver standoff and that tragedy up there, Waco, what happened there, then the gun control, assault weapons ban, and the crime bill, the elements of that, and the Brady bill, as examples that the federal government is just taking away our rights and is a threat. Okay. Now, driving underneath that is something much darker, and it is not just those issues that many Americans can share sympathy with. I wasn't pleased to see what happened in Waco or at Weaver. There were mistakes made there. That's obvious. But beneath that is taking these issues that many Americans share. But then when you get deeper into what they really intend and what they subscribe to is an all-out assault, a violent agenda of civil disorder against the federal government in terrorist acts, the legitimacy of using violence against federal government, state officials, law enforcement, abortion providers, any of that, where you read this justification for violence, and then coupling that with, and here's how to go about it. That's what we're looking at, and that's what we consider dangerous, is the dissemination of how to construct demolitions. I mean, you take that step further and further. That's what's operating beneath. That's not something that they're publicly stating, here's what we advocate as you go out and blow up a building. But at the same time, they're disseminating information on how to construct bombs.
You know, from what you're saying, I get the impression that what you're finding is that when one racist group is successfully prosecuted under the law, racism just expresses itself through another group, heads in another direction. Do you find that very discouraging?
No, that's the work. If they have to keep moving and changing their tactics, we will keep moving with them. And as long as they act out in that way, we'll be there. And it's a situation that is not ending, obviously. But we're not going anywhere. And wherever they go, we'll be there watching them.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Michael Reynolds works with the Klan Watch Militia Task Force, which monitors white supremacist activity in the militia movement. Klan Watch is a project of the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.